Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. Stand by for news. Well, I understand it went something like this. Story about a frustrated mom in church with a fidgety 7-year-old girl. On Sunday morning, the child was so bored halfway through the sermon and was causing her mother a great deal of stress, and finally the girl just looked up at Mama and said, "Mommy, if we just give him the money now, will he let us go home?" We know in our hearts that the most painful honesty usually comes out of the mouths of babes. Is this how we view our giving? Sometimes it's as though we think our ministry of giving is actually paying dues to the church somehow. This is not how God intends us to view the act of giving, and we should know this better than any this time of year. The poor widow in Mark 12, after stepping up and contributing only 2 small coins, totaling about a penny, Jesus proclaimed that this one woman had given more than anyone else because she had nothing, and still she gave. Christians should never give out of obligation, but instead out of an attitude of joy and of worship. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 there, right? By giving, we can bless others as we ourselves have been blessed. Matthew 10:8. We have many wonderful opportunities every day to demonstrate God's love to other people. Does our giving reflect the grace and the blessings that God has given us? Pray today for God to bless you with a heart of a big giver. Big news, the United States is considering a total withdrawal of U.S. forces from Syria as it nears the end of its campaign to retake all of the territory once held by Islamic State. The decision, if confirmed, would upend assumptions about a longer-term U.S. military presence in Syria. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis and other senior U.S. officials advocate this to help ensure the Islamic State cannot reemerge. A federal judge yesterday delayed sentencing once again for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. A surprise decision at the dramatic hearing where the judge tore into Flynn and even questioned whether Flynn committed treason before walking back on his comments. The defense asked for a sentencing delay after U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan questioned Flynn's cooperation in a separate case and then tore into the defendant and warned he couldn't guarantee that Flynn wouldn't get prison time. They say this thing will all play out mid-March. Meanwhile, legal scholar Alan Dershowitz says Flynn has a few limited options to avoid prison. Now that the judge has signaled his willingness to consider a prison sentence, Flynn has 3 options, none of them good. Flynn's first option is to ask the judge to throw out his questionable guilty plea, but that's going to be difficult to do, so in light of his statement at the sentencing hearing that he accepts his guilty plea and knew he was doing wrong when he lied to the FBI. His second option? But there may not be much more that he can say or do. And last, a nuclear option. That would be to seek to recuse Judge Sullivan because of the judge's prejudicial misstatements about treason and about Flynn being a foreign agent while working in the White House. What a mess, huh? The Senate on Tuesday night overwhelmingly approved a bipartisan criminal justice bill backed by the president after defeating 3 amendments pushed by conservative Republicans. Lawmakers approved final passage 87-12. The measure now goes on to the House, which it's expected to be approved quickly. President Trump congratulated the Senate soon after the measure's passage, tweeting, "America is the greatest country in all the world, and my job is to fight for all citizens, even those who have made mistakes." The Trump administration has banned the use of bump stocks, devices that let rifles fire like machine guns, after promising to do so earlier this year. Final date to destroy or turn in the devices is the 21st of March, according to the White House. The push to ban bump stocks followed the deadly mass shooting in Las Vegas in October of 2017 and then down there in Parkland, Florida in February. Pro-gun advocates have said they are prepared to fight that ruling in court. Transcripts of former FBI Director James Comey's closed-door testimony before House Republicans has raised questions over how former President Barack Obama could have determined that Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server while Secretary of State did not imperil national security. if the FBI never briefed him on the investigation. In a second meeting this month with lawmakers, Comey was asked about remarks Obama made during a 60 Minutes interview back in October of 2015. He said there, talked about an email matter, that it wasn't a situation in which America's national security was endangered. As congressional leaders continue negotiations to avert a partial government shutdown at the end of the week, that's Friday, right? Friday at midnight, the White House has indicated it's looking for alternative ways to fund President Trump's signature campaign promise of a border wall without a government funding lapse. What to do, what to do? Remember, now, Mexico is going to... Oh, never mind. Detectives questioning a celebrity median in Brazil, accused of sexually abusing more than 300 women, have reportedly gotten spooky goings-on during their two-hour interrogation. Unexplained incidents ranging from a bizarre computer crash to wiring on electrical appliances suddenly short-circuiting appears to suggest supernatural forces at work during the interview. The mysterious problems unnerved the cops but didn't deter them from collecting the testimony from the faith healer known as John of God. Who is the prince in the power of the, Hey, there was a weird weather happening in Seattle. A confirmed tornado touched down near Port Archer. That's about 45 miles west of Seattle, according to the National Weather Service. The tornado hit before a warning could be issued. Debris, leaves, litter apparently lifted at least 6,000 feet into the air, and tornadoes in Seattle, rare. From our Dumber department, a 23-year-old man was arrested after he allegedly tried to exchange marijuana for food at a McDonald's drive-thru in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Anthony Gallagher, arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence and possession of cannabis. Cops came to McDonald's after being told about the attempted weed transaction. The restaurant's manager told authorities that a man in a Pontiac showed him the weed after he was told how much he owed. When the subject was advised of the amount of money that he owed for his order, he produced a clear plastic bag containing a green leafy substance and offered to provide him with marijuana in exchange for the food that he just ordered. Okay. More news right after this. Clearly, we live in a loud society, and that's not simply a problem in some parts of the world, rather industrialized society. Fast-paced living has filled the world's airways with what can be described as, well, just noise. Some of the noise useful, for example, a late-breaking news story might warn of an approaching storm. However, many things that fill our ears are just, well, pointless. Why is that noise there? In Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, he says, one reason we can hardly bear to remain silent is that it makes us feel so helpless. If we're silent, who's going to take control? Very often, words are not only our means of communication, they are our means of control. We use words to manipulate our environment, to indelibly set our fingerprints on any given situation. If we don't speak up, then someone else is going to swoop in and take charge. Sometimes that's exactly what needs to happen. Foster says in his book, if we are silent, who's going to take control? God will take control. Our prayer lives are too often marked by an overabundance of talking and petitioning and posturing with God. It is of extreme value to spend time daily talking to God. However, it's also necessary to spend time in utter silence before Him, allowing Him to speak to you uninterrupted. Take a moment today to filter out all the noise and listen to His voice. Ah, they come out of the woodwork this time of year, right? The Ponsonby Central Mall in New Zealand constructed a giant gender-busting Santa to greet Christmas shoppers and destroy the innocence of little kids. Really, Santa Poppins. Not funny, supposed to be, but a mammy. And she is a fat man with a full beard and a red suit. Only the red suit is the famous coat worn by Mary Poppins. He, she is also holding the famous Mary Poppins umbrella and a large purse. Unlike either Santa Claus or Mary Poppins, though, the mall puts Santa Poppins in panties and a garter because, hey, if you're going to destroy the little kids' minds, you might as well go for it all the way, right? The mall explains on Facebook, Santa has many changes over the years, but he's always trendy. Oh, yeah. This year, Santa Poppins, huh? What a bunch of morons. Stories like this just drive me crazy. While the executives who presided over the bankruptcy of Sears and Kmart are going to ring out 2018 with big news, getting $25.3 million in bonuses. One laid-off worker, Andrea Patrick, will be using her unemployment check to pay for new brakes on the Dodge 2000 Durango. Patrick, who lost her job when the Kmart she worked for in Rockford, Illinois, closed in October, had been hoping to buy the kids some Christmas presents. The kids ages 1, 2, 3, 7, and 11. She said, it infuriates me. They're going to be getting hand-me-downs and relying on charity this Christmas while those in charge are handsomely rewarded. Those top people at Sears are having a wonderful Christmas. That's what she told NBC News. They got $25 million in bonuses. Me? I'm late on the bills. The electric company threatening to shut off the power. I don't have anything left for the kids for Christmas. Wow. Pray about that one. A Yemeni mother of a two-year-old was initially prevented from entering the United States to say goodbye to her son due to the Trump administration's ban on travel from certain Muslim-majority countries. The U.S. Department granted her a waiver yesterday to travel to the Oakland Hospital to see her son. The two-year-old has been on life support there at Oakland Hospital for the past 30 days, born with a brain condition that caused weekly seizures. So, Mom wanted to see her boy one more time before he died. Wow, that'll grip your heart, won't it? When Owen Williams opened the door of his home in Bury, Wales, he just couldn't believe his eyes. The daughter of his elderly neighbor, Ken, was clutching this big bag. This loving neighbor had recently passed away. Williams assumed it was garbage that she just wanted him to throw away. Instead, the sack contained all the Christmas gifts Ken had bought for Williams' two-year-old daughter for the next 14 years. What? She said, these are presents for Katie for the next few Christmases. It's quite heavy. She was emotional, and I just got a big lump in my throat, Williams said. My wife was on FaceTime with her mom in Ireland. I popped the bag into the kitchen counter, and my wife started to cry, and I started to cry, and Mom just started to cry. It was like a Mary Poppins bag. The presents just kept on coming. An unbelievable Christmas story. Williams, whose Twitter thread of the story went viral, said, Ken was 83 when they first moved in beside him 2 years ago. The neighbor fell in love with his family, and, well, now it's history. Shocked how a man could plan for the next 14 years as he is on his way out. Wow. Another one. So, do you think you're a person of courage? Right after this. A big Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, a big thank you from the staff at Hello World. Thank you so much for joining us each day at this time, and your support has been phenomenal. Thank you for telling others about the broadcast. Thank you for joining us on Facebook. By the way, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Tell others, and well, you've been liking us, and we've been liking you, and oh, it's good, my friend. We're coming to the Tri-Cities of Tennessee in February, end of the month, into March. Get in touch, gregpatton.com. We'd like to speak at your church while we're down there, my friend. God has been so good. So many blessings. Again, thank you for listening, participating. Thanks for all the questions and asking us for help on a number of issues as well. What a neat group. Listen to Hello World. Again, just thanks a bunch. Let me ask you, do you think that you are a courageous person? And if so, where does that come from? You know, courage is a quality of mind, a spirit that enables us to face those dangers. They're out there, obstacles, very challenges of life with a sense of fearlessness and calmness and firmness. Does that describe you? It takes courage to be obedient to Almighty God. One of the ways God molds us into the image of His Son is to allow situations to come into our lives that challenge our faith, to test our very obedience. You may be facing a tremendous challenge on the job, in your family there, in your marriage, or some relationship. You may even be thinking of giving up, walking away. But I'm going to tell you, that's not God's best for you. He wants you to face the challenges of life with surety and trust Him and His ability. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the nation of Israel is an excellent example of how God works in the lives of His people. After the Exodus, Moses led the people to the edge of the Promised Land, and God gave that to Abraham, of course, Genesis 17, 1 through 9. 12 of them, selected to go into the land and return a report about the inhabitants there, the terrain, give us an update. However, the spies report was in strong opposition. We're not going forward. Only 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, remained convinced that God would give them a victory. God had pledged the land to them, but their faith waned in the sight of the people living there and those imposing city walls. That's human nature. That's you. That's me. Their focus blurred at the very thought of the battle, and their strength failed because they looked at circumstances. That's the key to what I'm telling you today. They looked at circumstances more than God's ability. They feared. So we go to Kadesh Barnea and find out that fear scored a mighty victory there. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. No, He hasn't. Most of us know the story. Israel refused to enter the land. Fear overcame their hearts. They rebelled against Moses, Numbers 13. They stood on the threshold of victory but failed to meet the challenge. Their only responsibility was to go in and claim what God said they could have provided for them. They sank back in disobedience. The consequences of their decision followed them for the next 40 years. Except for Joshua and Caleb, every man over 20 perished in the wilderness. God's challenges are not always easy, are they? Often they're very difficult because they require something from us. In Israel's case, it was obedience to the call of God. Did you get it? Many times the very nature of God's command is set for one single purpose, to stretch your faith as you place your trust in Almighty God. That's a key. You never lose by obeying God. You never win by disobeying God. I remember running out of the locker room at our home basketball games there in Roanoke, Indiana. There it was, a little plaque over the door. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. The key to an overcoming faith is found in the first chapter of Joshua as God addresses the people through His servant Joshua. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you. Just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong, courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. What good advice for you and me today. Meditate on it day and night, you betcha, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Is the question. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Oh, this is so good and so exciting. The secret of their ability to meet the challenge was learning to focus on God and His Word, not on circumstances. When I talk about my demon message, I say focus on God, glance at the devil now and then. The inhabitants of the land were still Israel's bitter enemies. They were just as strong and vicious as they were 40 years before. However, this time, God's people refused to bow to that fear and crossed the Jordan River and obtained God's inheritance. The Christian walk today, my friend, is more than lip service. Talk is cheap. If you're willing to allow God to work in your life, then He will enable you to face whatever problem fearlessly, boldly, bravely, calmly, and victoriously with great victory in Jesus. When you only focus on the challenge, what's going on, you then begin to falter, my friend. Ask questions like, can I really do this? What's going to happen if I fail? Will I be able to make it through? God never wants you to be careless in your actions. He does, however, call you to trust Him and His ability. And when we realize the full scope of the challenge that faced Israel, we discover their deep need for faith in God. What's that thing going on you're facing in your life today? Financial? Or does it have something to do with your children? Maybe your husband or wife? Maybe an in-law? Whatever it is, remember, human wisdom is not the answer. God alone will guide you safely through every trial if you'll commit yourself to Him completely and put your trust in His Word and His ability. I keep saying that. Don't ever let anyone tell you the Bible is not valid for the problems and trials today. It's as up-to-date as any newspaper or blog or anything you read on the internet today. Every principle God gives us through His Word is just as relevant today as it was for Joshua then. Oh, times change, but the Word of God does not. It's eternally alive. You have the ability to meet victoriously that thing, whatever it is, because it's God's best for you. You may not get the promotion every time or stand in the spotlight every time, but when you trust God, you will always be His winner. This is the promise that motivated Joshua and the people of Israel, and it's the promise you can claim today. Listen, God's strategy was very simple. He told the people to meditate on His Word, not on that wall surrounding Jericho, not on the people shouting threats over the wall or the vastness of the land. When you face difficulties and challenges, learn to recall the promises of God's Word, just like Israel. You have to get into His Word. And through prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in the principles and promises that speak specifically to your situation today. What's going on there? On the eve of the battle, Joshua sensed the presence of someone behind him. He turned to see a man unlike any man he had ever seen before, Joshua 5, Joshua 6. In Joshua's moment of deepest need, God Himself came to him. The warrior that met with Joshua to go over the details of the battle was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same warrior that will meet with you today if you will make yourself available to Him. Perhaps you have a difficult decision to make, one that could change your life forever. Everything within you says trust God and obey Him. The one thing you can count on is the same thing that fed the faith and the courage of Joshua. God will never fail you. He will always lead you to personal spiritual growth and increased faith. Are you willing to step out in obedience today? Meet whatever God has allowed to challenge your life? Trust Him for the outcome? Tell the Lord that you will follow Him in obedience. Ask Him for His will and that it be very clear to you. And here's the key. He may choose to speak through a friend today, a passage of Scripture, someone on the radio, or directly to your heart. When you answer His call in obedience, He will always respond with a blessing. Received this today from you. I like it. Read the Bible to be wise. Believe the Bible to be safe. Practice the Bible to be holy. Amen. Have you been saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great time of the year to get saved, to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's it, another edition of Hello World for this Wednesday. Thank you for being here. Thank you for telling others. It's a really big deal to us. News, information, and comment every day at this time right here. Greg Patton, God bless.